The Senate is on week number three of debate on the 2016 National Defense Authorization Act. Vendors will be happy about a provision that reauthorizes the Pentagon's Rapid Acquisition Program. Alex Racino is a principal research analyst for Deltek's Federal Industry Analysis Team and my first guest on Industry Chatter today, looking at the NDAA and what opportunities look promising for fiscal 16. Alex, it's terrific to have you on the have you back on the program today. And you write about R&D in the fiscal 16 NDAA, that the House and Senate versions are typical in that they outline several technology priorities. What are the priorities that you're seeing as you read each version, and how do they differ? Thanks for being on, Alex.
Hi there, Francis, and thanks for having me again. Well, the versions that we're seeing have different kinds of provisions in them, but typically there's a large focus on cybersecurity. There can also be a focus on cloud, big data analytics, and unmanned systems or autonomous systems. This year, we're seeing a lot of focus, as you would expect, on cybersecurity, especially in the House version. But in the Senate version, which is the one I focused on, I saw also some focus on defense research and development spending in cyber areas, also on intelligence analytics, and then on unmanned systems. Those are the things that I focused on.
You write the development of appropriate acquisition practices for buying and adopting technologies and systems, and we'll talk about some of those in just a moment, is also called for, waving a big green flag that the DoD will be spending research and development dollars on these technologies. Before we talk about the specific technologies, that's got to be a big plus for people who are in those areas of operation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that section that you referred to, Section 212, which is about the Defense Technology Offset Program, what Congress wants DoD to do is to develop a Defense Technology Offset Program that will help maintain the military technological superiority of the United States. And what that is working out, what the guidelines for that are, is that DoD really has a year after the enactment of the act to develop a business process for processing the applications for funding by military departments for specific kinds of programs, depending on the technology that is to be acquired or developed. So that includes also the criteria for evaluation of an application for funding and any changes to the policies or acquisition and business practices that are necessary to the department, agency, or command for purposes of the program. So there are some changes coming to acquisition rules, I guess, or at least the acquisition process when it comes to R&D in these areas and those things under the technology offset program.
You write the technologies that the technology offset program should focus on, some of them you've mentioned already: directed energy, high-speed munitions, autonomous systems, undersea warfare, cyber technology, and intelligence data analytics. None of those strike me as particularly surprising that that's where the Defense Department wants to maintain technological superiority. Were any of those surprises to you, Alex?
No, they weren't actually, and they really weren't surprises after some analysis that we've been doing here at Deltek on three areas in particular: on big data, cyber, and unmanned systems funding that's being requested for the FY16 budget. And in all of those areas, we're seeing, except for unmanned systems, actually, we're seeing a little bit of growth in all those areas. So we're talking about $3.29 billion that are being requested just for R&D, just for big data, for cyber, and for unmanned systems. So with that kind of money already being put into the, you know, kind of baked into the cake, so to speak, it wasn't a surprise to see that Congress had put that into the legislation.
The focus on R&D with the money behind it, the only thing about this that I think, I wouldn't say surprised me, but just struck me as noteworthy, was the fact that a lot of vendors have complained over the last year, especially, but over the last maybe 2 to 5 years, that the Defense Department is essentially asking them to do the R&D without necessarily a guarantee that if they provide some kind of innovative solution, they're necessarily going to get the business to be able to make the money back on it. And so I thought that was particularly noteworthy, that Congress is essentially saying, it looks to me at least, that to the Defense Department, no, we want you to still be in this business, and we want you to be in this business at a very high level. And it sounds like you're suggesting at a pretty decent dollar level, too.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I know the concerns that vendors are really, you know, have with R&D. You know, they're hesitant because it's a lot of upfront and expense that you're not really sure you're going to recoup. But I think that we've been hearing from defense officials for the last 2 years, maybe 3 years now, that without more investment in these areas, the United States is going to fall behind and is in the process of falling behind. So to me, you know, although this is a, we described it earlier as a green flag for spending in these areas, it's really a red flag for the Department of Defense, because Congress is recognizing that, hey, there's really a problem here, and these are areas that we need to focus on so that we don't lose an edge that we currently have. That tells me that there's a threat out there already.
Alex Rosino is principal research analyst at Deltek's Federal Industry Analysis Team, and writing about R&D in the fiscal year 2016 National Defense Authorization Act. And you write another provision in the Senate version that sticks out is Section 213. What's Section 213, Alex?
All right, well, Section 213 reauthorizes the Defense Research and Development Rapid Innovation Program, and the RIF, as it's called, was something that was authorized first in the FY 2011 NDAA, and this is something that we constantly see in these versions of the NDAA. There are reiterations or reaffirmations or reauthorizations of programs that have been, you know, have been authorized earlier. And so what that section does is it requires spending in certain areas, or encourages spending in certain areas of R&D. And the reason that I focused on it is because software development, as I was looking through the budget request for big data for cyber and for unmanned systems in FY 2016, there were a lot of developments requirements there that had software development as a component. So I know that that's something that the Department of Defense wants to focus on, and it's really something that I know vendors really have expertise in. So I wanted to make sure that I called that out so that they would be, you know, there would be some heads up there.
You write, DII received $225 million in funding in fiscal 15, so this also bodes well for defense spending and R&D. Do we have a sense of what that number looks like for the coming year?
We do, actually, and I need to issue a correction of what I said there. DII is actually a different initiative, so that's my fault, my confusion there. But the Defense Rapid Innovation Program in the new defense authorization bill that's currently wending its way through the Senate, S-1558, calls for $400 million to be spent in FY16 on the defense RIF, so the R&D RIF. So we're talking about a decent amount of money here.
Nice bump. You're also right about Section 215, and you write that mandates the Defense Department use industry partners, federally funded research and development centers, and government labs to support the reduction of costs through technical expertise and innovation. And you write about a number of areas where the focus will be on those. What are some of the most important ones, or some of the ones with the greatest potential for the vendor community, do you think, Alex?
Right. Yeah, that was a really curious section there, because it requires the Department of Defense to use resources of the federally funded research defense centers to focus on business processes and business systems, and to find a way to try to kind of break the deadlock when it comes to reducing funding, or reducing cost, I should say, of business systems, because DOD has thousands of them, and they've been trying for years to integrate them into ERPs. And so, you know, it really, I thought that was kind of an interesting approach. One of the areas that I think is really probably most lucrative, or potentially lucrative for vendors, or really to pay attention, is cloud computing. There are a number of vendors who are developing solutions that are cloud-based for business systems. And as long as the business system isn't dealing with, you know, inherently, level 4 and higher data impact level for the in terms of cloud security, the business systems should be able to, you know, should be able to be hosted in the cloud. So that's something that I would look at as being a positive. The other thing is that software development and hardware development based on COTS systems, those are areas that there's some off-the-shelf solution that the DoD can quickly bolt onto its current processes or current systems that will help reduce costs and increase efficiency, then DoD wants to hear from you.
I like the wording in your piece, including systems and techniques to limit unique interfaces. That's a great way of expressing the COTS concept.
That's Congress, believe it or not. They do make sense sometimes.